Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
Hi everyone, today you have Laura with you, and I am interviewing the lovely Shani J, who is a self-love advocate, best-selling author and writer, and she's the author of Bloom, A Gift for the Girl Learning to Love Her Beautiful Soul and the Babe Bible, and she's also founded the Glow Getter Tribe, a self-love and kindness movement which helps young girls and women worldwide feel happy, confident and beautiful starting from the inside out, which I think is awesome because that's definitely something that is so needed these days. So welcome, Shani.
Thanks for having me, Laura. So excited to talk to you today.
It's my absolute pleasure, and I know that the Whole and Healthy Life podcast listeners are going to get a lot out of our chat today. So first of all, I'd just love to know why, really a little bit about your journey and why self-love is something that you're so passionate about. What is it that's led you to being such an advocate for it?
Well, I think as sort of a teenager growing up, it was something that I really struggled with, like self-confidence and self-esteem. And I think I didn't realise really at the time what self-love was. I think, I mean, it's become quite sort of topical today, but I think back then there wasn't really much talk about it. And it wasn't until later that I sort of started to realise that self-love was a really important part of developing that confidence and just generally sort of living like the life that you want to live and just being happy and just grateful with your life and who you are. And so just because I struggled with that so much when I was younger, I just thought, there's no way that it's just me. I know that I can't be alone in that feeling, because especially today, girls growing up today have even more pressure on them, because there's things like social media, you know, that wasn't around really so much when I was growing up. And I just think it's a really hard time, and I just didn't want anyone else to feel the way that I did. And I thought, you know, if I can do just something, help like one person, then that will just make my writing like worthwhile.
And it's, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think there's definitely been a shift from, I'm guessing we're probably around about a similar age, but when we go back to, you know, our childhood, it wasn't, we didn't have the internet really or social media, and there's been such a shift for people. And yeah, again, it's just makes you realise, isn't there, there wasn't such a thing as a self-love movement.
Exactly.
Like, you know, maybe it's not even 10 years ago, definitely not 20 years ago or something like that. So it has changed a lot. And when it comes to self-love, how would you kind of define that? I know you mentioned a few things there about feeling happy and confidence, but what does self-love really mean for you?
I think for me, it means being completely comfortable and confident with who you are and all of the choices that you make every single day, and just making time every single day for yourself to sort of develop yourself, nurture yourself. I think a lot of girls struggle with sort of the borderline between, you know, loving yourself enough and then perhaps loving yourself too much, which I think is such a shame, because I just don't think it's even possible to. I think you should always just, you know, devote as much time as you can to, you know, to yourself. I guess it just means sort of not needing anyone else to validate you, you know, feeling like you're just enough completely, just as you are on your own. You know, I think a lot of girls look for like relationships and friends and things to sort of make them feel like, yeah, actually, like, I am good enough, I am worthy. But I think what self-love means is to sort of find that completely on your own.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. I think you're totally right. I think there's so much of that that goes on, isn't it, that we try and seek that validation from outside of ourselves.
And I think, yeah, it's hard, because I guess girls feel that pressure, you know, from their other friends. And they think, you know, well, if I'm not in a relationship, but all my other friends are, you know, like, what's wrong with me? There must be something wrong with me. And Yeah, and then there's sort of pressure to just look a certain way, you know, dress similar to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think it just becomes like a big sort of spiral where you forget sort of who you are. And sometimes I think you're afraid to be who you are. And mm-hmm. I want to like encourage girls to embrace that, because it's so nice to see those differences in people. You know, I think that's what makes like an interesting world, when it's filled with so many different personalities. And that's what's attractive. I think a lot of girls think that, you know, in order to be attractive, they have to, you know, sort of conform to a certain look, and mm-hmm. that's just not the case at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you, and I mean, by the sense of, we're talking about kind of like younger girls, and I think first perhaps some older women who perhaps see their daughters behaving like that, but also have their own self kind of insecurities. Do you think there's a way of mothers supporting their own self-love journey while also kind of supporting the daughters as well? Because I know that what I say in a lot of the work that I do is this cycle that where women have looked, sorry, to their mother, and certainly if I'm diet culture and certainly if I'm not feeling good enough, yeah, have picked up those issues from the mothers. And I know that there's a lot of women who are coming into motherhood now who don't want to repeat that. If that makes
sense. Exactly, yeah. And I think it's so hard, because I think, you know, I do feel like my message does speak to younger girls a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think there's women who my age and mm-hmm. then older who still have these huge issues surrounding their body image, their mm-hmm. weight, and things that, you know, just haven't never gone away, and things that they just sort of have constantly going around in their mind like every day. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're not, sometimes you're not even really conscious of it, and yeah, those sort of little comments and things, you know, about what you're eating and about what you look like, that does really rub off on your kids. Mm-hmm. And I was really lucky to sort of, you know, have a mother that like never really sort of had those issues mm-hmm. around her body, and she was always very sort of had like a very healthy relationship with food. Yeah, which I was really sort of blessed with. But I think yeah, it is incredibly hard, because women might not even realize that they're doing things like that. So I would say, yeah, it's tough, because it's, I think the journey to self-love is not something that just sort of instantly happens. Like mm-hmm. it is like a day-by-day process. It's, you know, it's not waking up one day and being like, oh my gosh, like everything's amazing, like I look amazing, you know.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen,
unfortunately. And think, not
and I think we all still have bad days, you know, like I have days when I feel like, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm looking great, or mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's important to realise that that's normal. But I would say, for women sort of wanting to help their daughters, I would say maybe, you know, just sort of teach them sort of lessons and things that you wish someone had taught you when you were younger, sort of to try and stop what happened to you. Yeah, happening to them. Yeah, but it is incredibly hard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a tricky one, I think, especially when like you're dealing with your own insecurities as well. But I love the idea of teaching them lessons that you wish you had, and I think there's something healing in that for like mothers as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's important to remember, it's like, it's never too late, you know, you're never too old to change the patterns that you like, to change your thinking in mm-hmm. your head, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always worthwhile doing that, because I think women that do struggle with things like self-love and self-confidence, those are things that affect everything else in your life, you know. Yeah, it stops you from just living the life that you know you can live and that you want to live. It just holds you back in every way, and it's such a shame to sort of stifle your life like that. So yeah, it's never too late.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think when you mentioned just before a little bit earlier about overconfidence, that sometimes girls worry about being overconfident, and that was something that really rung a bell with me, because when I was quite young, that was something that was very much like crushed in me from my parents, basically. About, and I got this kind of impression that I shouldn't be too big for my boots and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, how do you when you're talking to women and girls about that thing, about this. And I think generally that's a very female thing, isn't it, that we're subjected to this idea that we can't be we can be confident but not too confident. You know, we can't be too confident, we can't love ourselves. Yeah. You know, and there's that insult, isn't there? Like, oh, she's full of herself. You know, that kind of comes up.
I know,
up.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, how would you... How would you support women around that conversation?
Well, yeah, Laura, it's interesting you mentioned that you experienced that yourself, because I've had a number of girls sort of say, you know, they've had things said to them like, oh, she loves herself too much. Mm-hmm. And it, like, as if it's a bad thing, like, yeah. Sort of seeing someone who's confident and happy within themselves, just as if it's a bad thing. And I think people do, I think girls in particular do tend to sort of say it, in like a negative sort of harmful way, you know, when we're younger, I think in particular, like we say things like that and we don't really realize what that might be, like what kind of impact that might be having on someone else, being like, oh, okay, I better shrink myself a bit, not look too happy because other people are going to be like, oh, look at her. And I would say, you know, there's always going to be people that have something to say about you, you know. Mm-hmm. People are always going to want to bring you down. People are going to be jealous. People are going to have their own issues going on. And that's always projected onto other people. And mm-hmm. I would say it's important to learn to just be happy and comfortable with who you are, you know. Don't let anyone sort of stifle your confidence or your happiness, you know, because that's a great thing. That's something that other people strive to have, like, within themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They definitely do, don't they? I think in Australia they call it tall poppy syndrome as well. When people seem
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Australian friends, and I think it's when the kind of, you know, people say that they're getting too, it is that kind of like too big for the boots type of thing. But I think it is good that there is like a change in that conversation happening. Through people like yourself, where it is like, well, you know, like, she's full of herself, should not be a negative, and should not be an insult.
No.
You know, that we should be okay to embrace that. And when it comes to self-love, because I think, like everything, self-love, and you know, you've beautifully kind of described what self-love can look like, about confidence and things like that, because I think sometimes self-love is a bit of a fluffy word that doesn't really make a lot of, you know, it's not brought into reality for a lot of women. But in terms of the things that you've mentioned, you talk about self-confidence and things, is there any particular practices that you do, like, on a regular basis that you do yourself, or that you would recommend women and girls to do, that would help them develop that self-love muscle? Because I think it is something that we have to grow, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's I would say it's not really one sort of thing. It's like a lot of little things that I think compile to become like a big change. So I do things like, I make sure, you know, like, I'm exercising, I'm moving my body. I've just found something that I enjoy doing, which is like swimming. I find it just really relaxing and calming. So I make sure I do that a few times a week. Yeah. I make sure I wear clothes that make me feel good, you know, as opposed to wearing whatever's in fashion or whatever anyone else tells you should be wearing, you know, just wear things that make you feel good. And surround yourself with like positive people. You know, it's hard because sometimes you fall into friendship groups and you then realize, actually, you know, I'm spending time with this person, but they're making me feel, you know, unhappy or like sad. And sometimes I think girls find it really hard to, you know, break those friendships because, you know, maybe they've lasted a really long time or, you know, you feel bad about doing that. But it's important not to surround yourself with that negative energy, because it only ends up, you know, affecting you and bringing you down. And you do have to do what is best for yourself. Sometimes I think girls often, we're sort of taught since we're young to, you know, to put everyone else before ourselves, like, put everyone else first. I think it's important just to, you know, do things that you know are gonna help you to grow. You know, I think it's really true what they say, that you're the product of the five people that you spend the most time with, and I found that to be true. So yeah, little things like that, just making sure you're taking some like downtime every day to, you know, be alone. I think another thing is that a lot of girls sort of aren't comfortable feeling like being alone and in their own company, and perhaps they just, you know, are always making sure that they're with someone else. But it's important to sort of get used to that time on your own and just, you know, learn to enjoy it. And, you know, just go take yourself on a date. You know, you don't need like a man to take you on a date. Just go and have fun and just see what happens. Yeah, it's just little things like that, you know, little sort of rituals. You know, maybe you have like an hour every day where you get in from work and like you have a nice bubble bath and you light candles and you read like a nice book, you know, just little sort of things that you can incorporate every day that make you feel really good, because I think that's personal to everyone.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And I mean, I talk a lot about self-care on my blog and things, and I think there's just such huge crossovers. I think that kind of element of self-care
definitely
kind of cultivates the self-love in a way, because, you know, by doing, but you know, giving time to those things, I think you're telling yourself that you're worth it, aren't you, that you're worth investing time
exactly
in yourself or money or whatever. But I love the idea of a day. I think I'm going to have a day off this week and
yes
take myself out. Definitely
So I always say, like, I love fresh flowers, and I can't wait for my boyfriend to buy me them. I just buy myself them, like, every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've said before, if I waited for my husband to buy me flowers, I'd be waiting a very, very long
exactly
time.
Exactly, me too.
and I think it's, I mean, it is a good, I think it's such a positive thing, though, just to not to wait for other people to make you happy.
And
for you to take responsibility for your own happiness.
Exactly, yeah, because at the end of the day, I think we are all responsible for like 100% of our lives. Like there are certain things that are uncontrollable, and you know, things that will happen, like events, circumstances that will happen, but ultimately, like, it's how you respond to those things. And I think that's what people forget. I think I read somewhere, what is it, like, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it.
Yeah, oh, that's a great quote. It's absolutely, it's true though, isn't it? And I think if, I guess from my point of view, self-love's a little bit about that, like, that emotional resilience to deal with stuff and to handle, like, whatever gets thrown at you. It's part of it, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it is hard, and some people are like more sensitive than other people, and we're all different, and we all, you know, respond to things in different ways. I think it's just important to just be strong with, you know, learn to be strong within yourself, and like be sure of who you are, and know that what anyone else is doing or saying around you, that has no bearing on you, as long as you're sure of yourself and you know what you're doing, and at the end of the day you're proud about who you are.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And just wanted to kind of come back around to the self-confidence thing, because I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with, even people who might be actually, you know, who might do a lot of the you know, the positive self-love practices, like buying themselves flowers and lovely baths and dates and stuff. When it comes to self-confidence, have you got any tips for starting to grow that?
Yeah, because it was something I really struggled with, and I remember I think it slowly sort of started growing a little bit, I think, by the time I got to 18, and I really just wanted to, you know, not feel held back all the time by the way that I was feeling, because it really does hold you back. So when I went to university, I then sort of said to myself, right, I'm, you know, this can be like a fresh start, not that you have to wait for something like that, you know, you can just decide that tomorrow's your fresh start, but I just sort of said to myself, right, I need to sort of make sure that I'm pushing myself and challenging myself to, you know, go into new situations and try different things and just sort of face my fears, because I think fears are something that everyone has, and I think it's just important not to let those fears hold you back, because otherwise you're just gonna live like a half kind of life, and I felt like that's what I was living. So I just decided to, you know, not, you know, when I'm like in a room with like a load of people I don't know, I just decided to, you know, strike up conversations and, you know, like have like a couple of things ready to go in my mind, so I wasn't like, oh my God, what am I going to say? You know, because I did used to be quite introverted. I feel like I still am quite introverted, but I just made sure I like, you know, just allowed my personality to sort of like blossom a little bit, because I knew that like I had a lot going on in my mind and there was a lot to say, but sometimes you just struggle, and it's just like, it is little things like that, you know. Maybe like every day just put yourself in a situation that that makes you feel uncomfortable. I know that sounds scary.
No, I totally understand what you're saying, because it is that thing, isn't it, about pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone a little bit, because I keep telling myself whenever I get a bit freaked out, that's the only way that we grow really, is by doing that. And I mean, just to share something that I've been doing recently, is commenting on people's Instagram posts or replying to tweets, because I would naturally not do it, so I have to push myself to do it, and just doing that a little bit and not like having someone say, well, what's that comment all about, so you know, someone not kind of challenging me on it.
Exactly, that's like a good way to start, you know, because it's not face to face, and it's just a little bit, you know, you had time to think about what you want to say, and that's great practice, like, in, you know, then stepping it up to like a conversation in the street with someone you don't know. I would say that, so that really helped me, but you know, I think what's important to remember is it has to come from within, like there isn't something that just happens and then suddenly you're going to be like really confident. But I found it really helpful, you know, reading a lot of like self-help books and just things, just sort of, you know, again, surrounding myself with that positive energy and just things like that, I would say really helped. And the more you do it, the more confident you then get, and it becomes easier. It just, you look back and you think, oh gosh, like, why was I scared about that? Because I find it like incredibly easy now.
And that in itself just builds so much confidence, isn't it, when you can actually see that you've had that journey. It just really helped. And I love that you mentioned there about books, because I know that you've got two books, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it sort of happened quite quickly, actually.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear a bit more about those books if you don't mind sharing, because I think it is a really positive thing, actually, when we do surround ourselves or take on information that is going to be empowering. And I get the impression that your books are very empowering, so do go on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I've always loved reading, so books were just a natural sort of place for me to turn when I was needing something. Like, I still always look for like a book if I'm wanting to develop something within myself, because I think it's a great way of, you know, you don't spend a lot of money and you get a piece of someone's mind, someone's like incredible mind who has like gone through this journey and is like living like, well, what seems like a really successful life, something that you would maybe aspire to live. So it's like, I find them a great way to sort of tap into that. But yeah, my books, so the first one, Bloom, it was published with a small American publishing house called Thought Catalog. And that happened because I was writing, well, I still am writing for them. I started at the beginning of last year, and I was just submitting, you know, just articles for them sort of on a weekly basis, and that was when I was just sort of getting back into my love for writing, and I was just doing it for fun, like on the side while I had my day job. And then sort of halfway through the year last year, I realized that was, you know, definitely what I wanted to do full time, so I was then working on doing that. But through my articles, I sort of found I had a really common theme, which was empowering women and self-love and confidence. And so Thought Catalog actually approached me and said, you know, have you thought about writing a book? Because they publish quite a lot of books from the writers that write on their site.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, are you interested in it? And I was like, actually, yeah, like it's something I would love to do.
Yeah.
It's something you sort of always dream about, I think, when you're a writer. But you don't really think it's like possible, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, I decided to like come up with a theme of self-love. And then I grouped together some of the essays I'd already written and then wrote a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of tie in with the theme. And then, yeah, I submitted those, and then I had input on the cover and things, and then that came out, I think it was at the end of April this year.
Oh, wow, lovely.
So that was, yeah, just a few months ago. So it is still quite recent. And then the second book, The Babe Bible, that was completely self-published, and I decided to go down that route because I wanted to sort of experience the whole process, because when you publish with like a publishing house, you don't really get involved in anything past like the writing. It's then sort of all taken care of, so I really wanted to learn it. So I started writing that at the beginning of March. So it was before the other one even came out, and I think it took me about a month and a half to finish writing, and then I was just focusing on, you know, marketing and everything, and then that came out about a month ago. It's a bit crazy when I think about it. It's like a bit short in like a time span, but it was just something that I really wanted to get out there. Like I think that book had actually been like inside me for like probably about 5 years. Like I'd had this idea and I just hadn't put it down or anything, so I just sort of poured out really quickly.
And what is it that you share in those books, and who are they really aimed at?
So Bloom is just a collection of essays on learning to love yourself, just being confident and comfortable with who you are, and it's definitely, it's aimed at women. Like I think everything I write is aimed at women. And it's just a book you can sort of pick up and just dip in and out of, and just when you need just a little bit of a reminder that, I guess, like that you're doing okay and that you have a lot to offer, like within yourself. Just a little boost for anyone who sort of feels like, you know, they're not very confident or they're not really happy, you know, when they look in the mirror and things like that. And then The Babe Bible was inspired by those open when letters that couples like gift each other.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I remember going across like Pinterest one day, and I was thinking, oh, that's like such a nice gift. And I was thinking, but like, what about all the girls who, you know, don't have boyfriends to give them those letters? I thought everyone should have a box of those letters, because like everyone goes through things, like, you know, they have like a bad day, or, you know, maybe they feel like heartbroken, or, you know, they've like lost a best friend, or, you know, they're struggling through something, but they don't feel they have anyone to, you know, sort of like turn to or share that with. So it's just a collection of open when letters written in a book form. And it's on topics like the body, spirit, love, inspiration, and hope. Like it's split into chapters like that. And yeah, it's just again, it's a book you can dip in and out of and go to whenever you just need a little sort of pick me up, some like words of wisdom, like a bit of guidance. So yeah, that was the inspiration behind the book.
Oh, it sounds absolutely lovely. I love that. I love the way that it's like, that's a really unique way that it's, you know, that it's laid out in those letters.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I hope it's people find it quite, you know, readable. I think sometimes it's hard because some people might not read through the whole thing all at once, because you know there'll be things that are completely irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is that you can then, you know, look back at it in maybe a year's time, and the sections that you flick past that time might be like the ones that speak to you most then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think books like that can be really helpful, because sometimes we'll pick up a book and we never really fully read it, but at least with this one we know that it's okay to pick it up and get what we need from it in that moment.
Yeah, exactly, because I've got so many books on my shelf that I don't want to get rid of, but at the same time I'm not opening them, and because I've read them and I feel like would I go back to it. I wanted it to be a book that actually people wanted the physical copy of, instead of the digital copy, because it's a book that you want to sort of have like by your side in case you need it. And what I would say, it is definitely, again, I do think it's great for younger girls, but I would say that older women at the same time are still going through all these things that I talk about in the book, things like losing a loved one, or falling out of love with someone, and I think those are things that we never stop going through. So I'd say it's pretty much for any woman out there.
Yeah, no, oh, that sounds brilliant. Oh, and where can people find that if they want to have a look?
So the Babe Bible and Bloom are both on Amazon, but the Babe Bible is only on Amazon, whereas you can get Bloom on iTunes as well.
Oh, fab.
The physical copy of Bloom is out, but the Babe Bible, I'm still in the process of getting that out there, so it shouldn't be too long. It'll probably be within the next month, and then you'll be able to get the physical copy.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I think it's been really, really interesting, especially the things that we touched on around confidence and just kind of making self-love not so such a fluffy topic, but actually bringing it into real life, if you like. And hopefully, as well, obviously, if people want to find out more, they can check out your books. But where can people find you online? What's your website?
So you can check out my website, which is shanij.com, and that's shanij.com.
Cool.
And then you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and my handle is shanijwriter for all three of them.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, well, I'm sure everyone will be checking your stuff out, and your great tips around self-love. But thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure, Shani.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Laura.
Thank you. And to everyone who's listening, we will be back with another podcast next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.